All right. Hello and welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Echo Chamber. Goodness, great start. Episode 8. Today I'm going to be talking about a recent interview that was brought to my attention by a viewer. Thank you for viewer. I forget who exactly, but I appreciate you bringing it up. It was a Korean event and Yoshi P was interviewed. I'm looking at the website inven.co.kr. Sorry, it's .co.kr. There was a Reddit post about this. Mostly about kind of the midway section of the interview with Yoshi P talking about the future of the game. Big announcements coming during the fan fest, so we're not going to have to wait too long. And Yoshi P is staying kind of tight-lipped right now because he doesn't want to give things away to competitors. So a lot of interesting things to speculate on going into the future and things that I'd like to share as far as my opinions, views, and I want to engage or encourage you guys to engage in this as well, because I've had a much better opportunity to understand the scope of the player base of Final Fantasy XIV, at least in NAEU. That's my reach, and still don't know where they are, who they are, how they do it. Typically, there's somebody who watches my content or is either in the streams or in VODs and stuff like that, and they are watching the opinions, because I've seen things that I've asked for in real, like, just manifest, you know, all my desires for monk changes and stuff like that, down to us getting the Star Shower Dive, I think is what it's called in Final Fantasy VII, Tifa's kind of ultimate attack with her blitz and whatnot, and then us getting that in the form of something. I forget the name of it. Anyway, those kind of things happening. My favorite, or the reindeer mount. It's like a small thing, but it's something that I asked for. You know, I poked the dev team on Twitter at the time, and I was like, you know what, if we don't get this, then I guess Medion was right. And lo and behold, the next Christmas, we got that that reindeer mount. So that was really cool for me. But anyway, in general, I know they're listening, so I wanted to make this for something that they can listen to themselves, bring it to the team, or show it to Yoshi P and have him kind of listen to it or look over whatever I have. I might try and transcribe this. Some good AI tools now with DaVinci Resolve to do that. Anywho, irrelevant. The main point, though, is I want you all to engage as well, either in the comments here so I get real-time feedback. No right answers, really. It's just about your experiences playing the game, what you think would be best for the game. This isn't to, like, argue back and forth. I may still do it. It's in my nature. But the whole point is to, like, kind of get more ideas of what players want, and then just either hash out some of the ideas here and in the comments. If you're watching this later, listening to this later, then it's just a good way to get them information. I like helping them that way, and it's kind of been proven that they've been paying attention to what we're doing here in this community. So thank you guys for allowing that to be such a cool thing, that it's even possible in the first place. But also just be mindful of it, that these are things that they are looking at. And even if they say, no, we're not going to go with that, or no, that's irrelevant, at least they have that chance to, they're looking at this stuff. So as much as everybody else wants to be super negative and whatever, I kind of get it here and there. Like, this is my livelihood. I want the game to do well. When it doesn't do well, I get frustrated. But at the same time, it's unrealistic to think that everything's going to be perfect all the time. So that's why we got to keep engaging. We got to keep talking. We got to keep giving feedback so that things will happen. And it's okay if the game takes a direction you don't want it to take. You are perfectly free, and everybody gets offended at this, but you're always, they don't deserve your money. This is a service. Don't let anybody guilt you. And what about the people that are employed there? That's not your responsibility. Their responsibility is to make a product that you want to pay for. If you don't want to pay for it, then you are not obligated to do so. Does it suck that the game may switch away from something that you enjoy? Yes. I'm not saying that that's going to be a good feeling, but it's, you don't have to torture yourself into trying to enjoy something that you that's no longer made or meant for you. And I've said that fully prepared for the game to take a turn for me and my group. Like, we'll find something else at some point, but that's how it goes. It's a product. It's a service. It's something that they need to sell to us. And we make we talk about these things. We have these discussions so that they have the information, and then they can decide whether or not to go forward with it or to go a different direction that better suits their needs, their vision, right? So yeah, I want them to focus on making the expansion content relevant during the expansion. I get that they want the new thing to be the focus, but seeing previous content dying fast feels bad. The focus on making expansion content relevant. What are we talking about there? We're talking about like stuff, making the everything in the expansion, like continue to pay attention to that stuff, or like previous expansions as well. Savage feeling still relevant after Cruiserweight. I don't know how they would do that, because for the expansion stuff staying relevant, because it's progressive. That's just kind of how the gear works. They'd have to change the gearing, I think, in order to do that, so that we're not increasing item level so much, if they focused more on doing horizontal progression. But I don't know. It's possible. If they take like the Monster Hunter approach, where they give us skills and builds and stuff to work with, and each tier gives us something to either improve our gear or up the stats or something, so that, but at some point, like once people are done with it, there's no reason to go back. I don't think, because there's two ends of everything, right? I'll go into this later. So this is kind of relevant to the overall conversation of this podcast, this discussion, because we'll get into it. It's just, I'm not sure how to articulate it right now. We're going to kind of recap it, but things that would make sense for me as a player, right? Doesn't always make sense for other players. Like you want, let me see if I can discuss this or get this out. I'm tired. I just put up all my Christmas lights. Started at around 2. So the past 3 hours I've been out in the sun. So I'm a little tired right now. I'm doing my best to stay on top of things. But you've got players playing for a really long time. Or you have players that can play for a really long time during the week. Those players are going to want a lot to do. And that makes sense for them, because they have a lot of time to do those things. They want to be occupied in the game doing those things. Now then, you have another player that still loves the game, but can only play for a couple hours a day. Now they're feeling like they can never catch up because there's so much to do. Now, is having a lot to do a bad thing? No, but it's really daunting for new players coming in to then do all that stuff. But taking away that stuff then undermines how much effort the players playing longer are. So there's got to be a kind of push and pull in the design process and the philosophy that they're going with, or that they decide on, they land on, of how do you make the game rewarding at every level? And that's kind of hard to do. And I don't really have the answer either. It just kind of depends on, there's going to be a downside. Which one's the best for the game, for the health of the game, for the players? What kind of do you want to cultivate for players? Because even if you give, like, there are people who will no life games. There are people that finished Island Sanctuary in 2 days or something like that. It was ridiculous. Like they went into spreadsheets and they crushed it. I don't think that kind of content should have been, like, they shouldn't have added more to accommodate those people, because then other people are going to feel like the grind isn't worth it. Like this is just taking so long to progress, right? Yeah, that's just something to kind of keep in mind. So back to the beginning of this interview, I will try and have this in the, not the comments, but either the pinned comment or the description. You will have to have a browser that can auto-translate. That's what I used. So there might be some discrepancies in what's actually being said, but so far it seems very fluid. Like it sounds like it was meant to be in English, so I'm hoping that the translations are on point. In any case, since they are in Korea, they're talking about the Korean and Chinese clients, or those servers, or whatever, those releases. And apparently those have been delayed for quite a bit, because that's not one of the big like five that they are working on. They have, I have right here, Japanese, English, French, and German, big four. And they've been adding in Korean and Chinese. And I think they're trying for 7.5 to be caught up. So, and then they're trying to make it everything global, which also means that there's not going to be any region locked items or events or whatever. Everything is going to be global release, which is really cool. It's a huge undertaking, but it's what they've been aiming to do. And in the future, it looks like they're going to try and have fan fests in those regions as well, because right now they just can't, since those teams have been focusing so much on getting caught up. That's been their priority. Just fine. Like, you got to pick something, right? So that's kind of cool that I didn't know that they were behind on releases, but now the fact that they're going to be simultaneous in six different regions, that's crazy to me. To be honest, we know how farmers are the Chinese and Korean players love grinds. They love their grinds and big influx of materials and other things. Yeah. I mean, if they are able to, actually don't know if this will be, if they're meaning that they're going to make all the servers global or how it's going to work with data center travel. I suppose we still can. I just don't do it very often, so I'm rather not very knowledgeable. Also, somebody told me recently that I was wrong about the Unreal, that it actually does sync you up to the current max level or whatever max level you are. And yeah, so if that is the case, I haven't gone back in to check it, then I think that's great. Because I was like, that's the perfect opportunity to test out level syncing stuff. And I didn't think that was the case. So we'd only ever done, I think, Sephiroth. And then we stopped because just didn't care about the rewards. And it's hard to get Ness to do other stuff after we're done with a raid. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that was... I threw that out there in case the Square Enix person was like banging their heads against the desk like, you got it wrong, dude. If I was wrong, I'm sorry. It happens a lot. So anyway, I thought that was neat. That especially because I didn't like... For me, it was the items. Because the Chinese and Korean servers got cool Mog Station items, but it was only for them, or they had like events for stuff over there that gave certain items, but only they got it. And I was like, dude, I love that aesthetic. That looks super cool. So I want that stuff too. But anyway, let us move on here. So the biggest thing, I think, of what a lot of people are talking about, I'm going to be reading off the quote here. So start quote from Yoshi P. Final Fantasy XIV is now moving forward into its next decade. We have a fan festival planned and we have some pretty big announcements lined up. With the determination to embark on a second iteration, we're rethinking everything from scratch to evolve the game with new goals. End quote for now. So I don't know what he actually means by second iteration here. I'm trying to, let me find this in the actual thing, because I didn't see anything. It just had this, yeah, I don't know what he means by second iteration. Originally, what I was thinking is that they're going to do a kind of Meteor again, revamp the servers. I would love them to just find, I don't know how they would do it, but find a way to either transfer characters over to something that's more practical, that they can actually design and develop the game that they want to without just heaps and heaps of spaghetti code. It almost seems like a necessity at this point, but I know it's a huge undertaking and something that if they haven't already worked on it behind the scenes, like, wouldn't that be the thing? Like, hey, psych, we didn't need extra time to develop the patches that we've been doing. We've been taking extra time because we're making a whole new groundwork. We're making a whole new whatever. What's it called? Thing. I don't know. What foundation for the game. We're going to push everything off and it's going to be new. And it's because they've been talking about like doing things that are cutting edge. It's going to be a cutting edge experience. It's going to be more for the times. Framework game engine, I think, is what I was trying to do. Thank you, chat. Okay, starting the next part of the quote. In that regard, a crucial consideration is the user's available time. With limited available time, I'd like to hear about things like how long they can log in, how much they play after logging in, and what they do. I think the game needs to adapt to that, obviously. Available time will vary by country, so I'd like to hear directly from users. End quote for now. I like this. I like this approach. And it's something that I wanted to... It's this in the next point where I'm looking at games like Lost Ark, where they have a system where you can basically store up daily rewards. So if you're playing every day of the week, then you get, I think, a little bit extra. But I think it stores or stocks up like 5 days of bonus. So think about that. You can only play on the weekend. How awesome it would be if you log in for the weekend and you can run Expert Roulette 5 times and get the daily bonus 5 times. Because like you're already paying for your subscription, you just don't have the time to log in every single day. And you don't really want to make people have to log in every single day. If they want to, that's great. That means you've made a product that they want to engage in, even if it's a little bit, right? But not everybody can. Things can get out of hand. Adult life kind of sucks. Also, yes, with the Monster Hunter World and Wild Lucky Tickets kind of a thing where if you miss a day, you may miss a little, you miss out on a little bit, but it's not quite as big of a hindrance where you're not, it respects the player's time, but doesn't change anything else. Like nobody's getting slighted. If you're playing every day, you're not normally going to be running like 5 Expert Roulette dungeons every day because there's no point to it unless you're farming for the other tomes and you're a crafter or something, you know. But you're still not getting, at the end of the week, everybody's basically at the same point if they're only doing the daily reward. Much as I would love an engine transfer, I know it would take years to do it. That's the thing though, is that that's what I'm saying, is what if they've been spending all this extra time between patches not to actually put content in the game right now, but to work on that? Because yeah, it's a huge undertaking, it would take years, but I would I'd be willing to.
I would be willing to wait if they made it better.
Holy crap! They need to, like they just need to do it. Okay, they take years. Fine, you know. But it would be so worth it. Anyway, for the Lost Ark thing, that's one example. And I think they could look at other MMOs or other games even, because that's another thing that you should be talking about if you want to get into game design, which I do. You play a lot of different games, which I do, and you look at things that are how they work, how they don't. Kind of look at why those things are working, aren't working from your perspective, other people's perspective, and it's harder to do. It's a long process. It's not something that you can just kind of pick up. It's something that you have to engage with people and not be so judgmental in other folks, right? Oh, let's see. So for me, I would log on every day for the latest relic step because I just kind of wanted to get it over with, but I wasn't having fun because I just don't like synced content. I've talked about that ad nauseum. I think there are ways to improve that. I've already said that, but it also would be nice if I could stock up my attempts. You know what I mean? Instead of having to be like, oh, I missed a day, but I don't feel like going into this one today, or I don't have the time to do a 24 man or whatever. So then I'm just like extra behind because I can't just, once I have the motivation or the time to do it, I have to wait another day. So start quote. MMORPGs are a game genre that require a lot of time, so I don't think they're well suited for today's times. Many pioneers have already played for a long time, and catching up requires a significant investment of time, which is difficult. I don't think it's acceptable to not experience the joy of a game unless you invest hundreds of hours. Conversely, if players have something to look forward to every time they log in, and if they receive the satisfaction that matches those expectations, I believe the MMORPG genre will continue to be beloved and continue to thrive. Final Fantasy XIV aims to achieve this, so from this perspective, I'd like to hear more from you, end quote. This is what I was talking about before with you want to give players or reward players for playing every day. And naturally, just as the longer the service goes on, the more stuff they're going to have been doing and the more stuff that people might potentially have to catch up with, right? A problem, in my opinion, that I see for 14 is that everything is locked. All the cool stuff is locked behind and max level. Now, it's not particularly difficult to get to max level with a single character, but it's getting to max level, then all this other stuff. Like, there's no way with increasing item levels and character levels, if you keep making that bar higher, then it's going to take newer players longer to get to it. And it's going to make them want to engage in the story or the progression less, which is another point where I'm going to make a note here to, I think that a good idea would be to separate story and progression. I think story is a casual thing. Progression should be a gameplay thing. And you can kind of have both, but this is a Final Fantasy game, but it's an MMO as well. So if they want to respect people's time, they have to let people kind of do what they want to do to an extent. Anyway, what were we talking about? You have things continuing to go up. What I want them to think about is not necessarily going up, but going wide. Because if you go wide, yes, it adds more content, more variety, more stuff to look at. It can be overwhelming. That is a downside to it. However, if you're just going, say, well, let's go Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter continues a game for 5 years, keeps adding monsters. Yes, some of those monsters are going to be locked behind your hunter rank. However, if you have 30 monsters in low rank and 30 monsters in the middle and 30 end game monsters, yeah, if you want to kill every monster and make all their gear, it's going to take a lot of time. However, in Monster Hunter, you don't have to kill every monster. You hunt the stuff that you need. So it gets overwhelming because it's like, oh, I've got all this stuff to choose from. But if you make an intuitive system that you can search things or make a build in game, then you can kind of sift through, okay, this is what I want. These are the skills I'm interested in. And then you have a focus and just a big pool to choose from. And you can either go off of a guide or discover it yourself, but then you're not having to, you don't have to go through every monster. You just go through the monsters that you want to make your build. And then have your upgrade system or whatever make it easier so it's all your previous work isn't wasted. Though it could be argued that the ease of the next hunt because of the build that you have is the payoff. So getting the next build easier is that's why you put in all the work for the original one. So that's why I think it's worth entertaining the idea of either skill trees or armor skills, armor sets, letting them do things, getting away from the 2-minute meta, just because yes, it makes things a lot simpler. I think the 2-minute meta could still exist for people who want it. Like they could still introduce gear or builds that revolve around 2-minute metas, whereas other ones could be a little bit more freeform. Or heck, you could have an ability to switch between gear set and like builds and have loadouts. But that's a lot of, yes, it's a lot of work, but they're thinking of solutions, and those are going to require work, right? Sorry, I get irritated when people are like, but they have to, yes, it's a part, they have to do things to make it better. It takes time and it takes effort. Yes, that's life. We shouldn't just be like, oh, it's too hard. It's like people who are just like, you can be mad at Nintendo and Pokemon and all that stuff, but you not doing anything or talking to them isn't going to do anything. It's like, oh yeah, that defeatist attitude is definitely going to get things done, right? And then all of a sudden, the patent office in the US is like, hey, wait a second, this is getting a lot of attention. Why are so many people talking about this? Let's revisit this and take away this patent that we shouldn't have given in the first place. Oh, looks like it wasn't just one individual, but all of us together, talking together, actually did something. Interesting. Weird how that works. Sorry, tangent. I'm angry about that. Still. See, oh, let me, I like this. Little Griffin says, also, having new classes start at higher levels is great, but having a huge mass of new skills all at once is a bit intimidating or overwhelming. Setting up the unlock quest line to gradually unlock and guide the player through skills might be good. That is also an issue and something that is also, like, skills are going to be a big issue moving on as well, because, I don't know, other games like Lost Ark start at level 1. At some point, you can kind of skip things over and do things at your own pace, but I do at least like that what they've done with Pictomancer, and oh my goodness, it is a lovely time at my house right now. I apologize to everybody in the recording, there's not much I can do without a door to my office. So, in any case, my wife's doing her best right now. The quest lines, if you actually do them, no, they don't lock skills behind them anymore, but they are basically mini tutorials, which help you figure it out. And it took me a while to get a handle on what they were talking about in the Viper one. I think they could probably work on how they display or introduce the information. But those were good, because then it gave me the idea, oh, these buttons work together, and then these buttons work together. Same with Pictomancer. Oh, these buttons work together, these buttons work together. I've been playing for a while, so I can intuitively kind of get the idea. Viper was very hard because there's so many flashing lights, and I didn't quite get what they were doing, and the gauge to me doesn't make sense. In any case, that was something that I think was a step in the right direction, and I think will help. One thing as well, though, is that they can very easily just reduce the amount of buttons needed. Make the impact of individual buttons better, make certain buttons faster, make certain buttons the big impacts. Increase, like, skills or abilities that enhance those original skills, or, you know, skill points, putting them into different things and unlocking different areas, making abilities work together differently. That could be something that they do, which, again, yes, huge undertaking, but it's an option that they have that will then make people stop and allocate things to their classes. I think there could be things as well that are shared between a number of classes, and it's like, okay, this is this button for this job, and that's what this button is for this one. You know, color-coded stuff, but... coupled with 8.0 changes, they could just make the combo skill just one button like they did with Viper. They very easily could. People who are like, I don't understand people trashing the game for simplifying button presses. It's all about timing, positioning, and it just doesn't make sense to have so many separate buttons. It doesn't make PvP any less enjoyable. And then when you have monkey brain people like me doing things like Dark Knight or even Warrior, or Paladin, all their main damage dealing windows are hitting one button. So, and those all feel really good. I think Dark Knight actually did the best. I think Paladin's is the most flashy. Warrior's pretty satisfying still. I'm not trashing Warrior, but I really like our Delirium stuff with Dark Knight. We just got three different animations, or two new animations. Anyway, the feel, the animations, the overall, like, style of the new Dark Knight stuff, so worth leveling up for. And I'm still hitting one button, but I'm getting new animations, new feedback, and it feels good. It feels really good, and that's the whole point. So people are going to complain about everything, right? After I just said don't other folks, but it's such a weird complaint to have, like, no, I want it. I want 50 different buttons. It makes my class more complex. It's like, it really doesn't. It just gives you more carpal tunnel. You know, it makes you run out of space on your hotbar faster. So many things are just not required. Fellowship does this with their monk tank. Like, the monk tank is such a masterclass in class design, in my opinion. If you haven't checked it out, I don't think it's free to play right now, but check out the monk tank in Fellowship. It's very good. And it was like, oh, of course, monk is, yeah, but it's, you know, it is what it is. All right. It's a combo system. Something to catch up on stuff. Work like Hall of the Novice tutorials, but for individual draw. Yeah, Hall of the Novice should be more required for new players. And Hall of the Novice should give you better gear. You know what I mean? That instead of having to like run all the dungeons, you can, but I think Hall of the Novice, if people want to catch up, that's how you do it. Either make the dungeons teach people how to do things or make the Hall. I don't think you should have to do like previous raids or 24 mans to do the next one, but you definitely need to do Hall the Novice before you do 8-man content. 1000%. The only negative I can give to the one button combos is that it can be hard to keep track of where you are in your combos. Lost many a follow up OGCD after finishing the Viper combo. That's all muscle memory and figuring, like, if you're watching your character, you will one see the icon. You'll learn to recognize the icon when it comes up, and you'll learn the animation. Because I understand where Viper's a little bit more fast-paced, and yes, as a new player to it, it can be easy to get lost in the sauce, but it's something that just kind of comes with practice, honestly. Just want more Summoner Eggies with a kid, reskin color. Yeah, I think that would be cool too. Also possible, or a lot more doors open up if they do things with skill trees and you have different Eggies to choose from. So that was a long tangent on basically trying to move things to more of a horizontal progression in certain areas. It would make raid tiers more viable, because then you'd incentivize people to do the older tiers, or it wouldn't be completely invalidated, because you could have a really good piece of gear from the first tier of a raid, but then you also need a mix of the middle, the second tier, and then the third tier. And then gear progression is less of just replacing stuff because of item level and replacing things because of how your build works. You know what I mean? And it's much more complicated than that, but that's kind of the idea that that's one way that they could go with it. Because again, you're dealing with just by the nature of the genre that people are meant to be playing for a long time. You have to incentivize people to pay their sub. And I liked Yoshi P's rationale behind having a sub model instead of a free-to-play model, because he's like, it makes people think more when they talk like on the forums when they're giving their opinions, because they're invested in it. They don't want to get banned or whatever, or which is still, they're still pretty heavy handed on the forums from what I've heard. But you also don't want people to, it's associated with your character, you don't want people to view you too negatively, which will still happen. I had people argue with me and make really over the top comments of, I would never play, if Dark Knight is a tank. So I'm like, Dark Knight armor would be really cool on a tank. If Dark Knight was ever a tank, I'm gonna quit the game. Okay, dude. I'm guessing they're gone now. But anyway, I always bring up this story. It still tickles me to this day. It's like, wow, that was really dramatic. That's why I wish we could use more materia opportunities, or use more opportunities to use different materia. Yeah, just either new materia, different materia. Making builds is a good way to go. Of course, then once you're done, you're basically done. It's a thing that I have with Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter, by far, my favorite franchise. Hands down. Like, it's something that I always wanted to have with something, because people would be like, oh, I've been playing this since childhood. I've been with this. I know everything about this. Oh, well, I don't know everything. I'm no expert. Monster Hunter is my jam. Like, I am into everything Monster Hunter. I love it. But I don't play if I've already got my gear, my build. Sometimes I feel like I'll watch an RPG anime or whatever, and they'll be going through and fighting stuff. I'm like, man, I want to fight dragons right now, and I'll hop onto Monster Hunter and I'll fight a dragon. It's because all the gear just feels, though, the weapons feel good to use, the fights are interesting. Regio sucks. But not just going horizontal. There's got to be stuff for progression. If you don't need anything from that tier, say, you still get something to put into your current gear. So either something to increase the sub stats, or rework your subs, or whatever. I don't know the idea, but everything at every point having a value to somebody in that model, in that content, right? So raiders should always get something from raiding. Either it's repurposing the gear, improving the current gear, replacing a piece of gear, converting old gear into something else. There should be benefits to that don't necessarily lock new players out of it, but rewards players who have been doing it. And then next expansion hits, and then the new stuff that comes out might have things in there, or more ways to convert older gear into the newer stuff. So the people who are going in save up all their stuff, they convert it all, and then they put it into a new set they get in the next expansion. Right. That's also the thing, is that it's hard. I understand people want to play with their friends, right? They get into the game because it's a social game. They want to play with everybody. But the leveling experience isn't really an experience anymore. There's nothing to do. And here's another thing that I want them to think about. is having more of a reputation system in each zone. We already have shared fate, but something along the lines of making each zone feel alive again, whether it be chain fates or quests that can be that either pop up every now and then or make leaves actually something that, hey, there's been an uptick or people haven't been killing as much of these antelopes. So now we have things on, you have bounties for these antelopes. You got to go out and kill a whole bunch and then you get a reward for that. Or, hey, there are not enough antelopes. These predators are getting out of hand. So got to go kill those. Or I think Ultima Online showed why that's a bad idea. But, you know, just things that flags that trigger the world kind of feels alive, or it gives people, it rewards players for keeping up with certain things. If things stay in the green, right? They used to have something like that in 11 where it was which region had control of other regions. They have that in other games as well, like Albion Online and Black Desert. No, Black Desert is more PvP based. The other one was, I forget. Anywho, doesn't matter. Wasn't important anyway. See, with meta and BIS, though, in a lot of MMOs, especially for endgame, it's almost way too hard to make work. I mean, it's hard. So it's okay. Give another example then. Like, what else to do? What else do you do? Because I'm fine disagreeing here with certain things, but what other than it's too hard? That doesn't help the devs. It doesn't help me. I'm not learning anything from it. I don't know what WoW did for reputation. Kind of shifting gears here. So I don't know what they did to make it bad. What I'm saying is, give something to build towards by interacting with the world. Make the world alive. Not just something to grind for, something to engage with, an alternative source of gameplay. Make it another way that if you don't want to do dungeons, then you do stuff in the open world. Like, we have fates. We have, is shared fate a pain, right? Like, you see where my frustration is. I'm sorry if I'm not trying to like shoot anybody down or discourage anybody from discussing, but I need more. Like, or I feel like you're just hearing a word and then shooting it down based on the word, not really what I'm saying or what I'm talking about. So I don't know what WoW did. So you'd have to give me a little bit more background of what WoW did and what they do, what made it a pain versus, yeah, we shouldn't do that because this other game tried something similar and it didn't work. You know what I mean? Obviously, don't reinvent a broken wheel. But at the same time, I remember, like, I really, really, really enjoyed the chain fates because they had story attached to them. And it's stuff that you would read. Like, you'd listen to you'd see the dialogue, read the dialogue that the NPCs were having, and you'd get to know these different NPCs, these different factions, you know, whether it be in Quarry Mill, going up into the, breaking into the bandits' lair, or being introduced to Long Half, you know what I mean? Because so, remember, they're spending a lot of time grinding out reps so you could get the Nether Dragon mounts. I was very happy when they made it so that they unlocked account wide. So it wasn't necessarily that it was, in essence, a pain. It was that you had to do it on every character, which isn't a problem. Not for 14, anyway. Let's see. Tried very minorly to reinvigorate open world with Fates and Shadowbringers XP bonuses and Shadowbringers, but then they kind of abandoned it again. So it really goes from a pattern of popular on expansion release, then dead less than. Yeah, well, that's just looking at it from a perspective of just making do it. You know, they do it as well with relics or certain events. Do these fates, please. Please do these fates, but there's nothing really to it. Though people will do it for shared fate, but once it's done, and that's just a problem that's going to happen with MMOs. You have to figure out a way to make it. That's the problem of verticality and making like one-time rewards. But then if you make multiple rewards, then again, it's the trap of, hey, now new players can never catch up because there's so much to get. You know what I mean? It's there's no one perfect answer. But Chaotic fell into this trap. Chaotic is a weird thing as well. It's tricky. It's one of those things that I should have delved more into at the time, which I'm going to try and do this next expansion as soon as new content comes out. Well, moving forward, because you guys are letting me kind of breathe. I was just very hard on myself trying to get content out as fast as possible. Like, I have to get this content out. Why? I don't know. Is there a sponsor? No. Then why? I don't know. I just feel like I have to be as relevant as possible. This is a dumb thing. But wouldn't let you progress the story unless you get to. Yeah, I wouldn't want story or anything locked behind reputation. It should be an additional thing. Like, just a way. Like, is it wrong to want a way to engage with the world? Obviously, it's not going to be forever. If it's eternal content, then why would you do the new content, right? But there should be some stuff to it. Like, new players, if they want certain things, go through that older content and get those things. I had to go back through and do older fates to get the shared fates unlocked and all those things so that I could buy things that I wanted from those areas. But doing fates, I don't want people just to do more fates. I want there to be an attachment, an emotional attachment to the world through fates as a storytelling device. Does that make more sense? Is that a little bit more thorough? I feel the fates are just there, but there's no attachment to them. It's like, oh, hey, here's this one. Let's just knock that out. Okay, let's, you know, and combat is already very bland in 14. The only reason I'm very invested in it is because I like the raids and the EX fights, and those are interesting to figure out. Like, I like the dance. I like the puzzle. But as far as if I want combat, I'm going to Monster Hunter. You know, if I want that feedback, I want that oomph, I want to just feel good swinging my weapon around, I'm going to Monster Hunter or almost literally any other game. I've had turn-based, like Octopath Traveler combat feels way better than 14's. Sorry if that's a little harsh, but that's my opinion. It just is so flat to me. So what I'm talking about, Hothead, is like progressing a fate. Yeah, I don't think they really gave, actually they did kind of give better rewards. They led up to super fates basically. And then you'd get into the, if you've ever gone into a fate and you hear the bum 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 bum, don't like that, where it gets that music in the fate, or it's the big, oh, this is the epic moment, you know what I mean? World events, they have those in Guild Wars. I don't know how they deal with the rewards and whatnot in Guild Wars. I just know that those are very popular for people and get a lot of people involved. So another example of another game kind of doing that. I've kind of looked at Guild Wars as how to do quick character progression and then build off of, like, you get most of your skills really, really early in Guild Wars, because somebody was in on X like, if we get all our skills too early, then there's nothing to look forward to in later levels. I'm like, you're lying, or you're ignorant. You have no idea what you're talking about. There's so much to unlock, whether it's access to armor, skills, not like weapon skills, but abilities, skill improvements. There's so many things that make it better. You know, I was a little disappointed in Reaper not getting anything new necessarily, but some people still really like it because it was improved upon. So, you know, I'm gonna need more people sign. Yeah, that kind of fate. Yeah, either a minion on kill or, so it's more stuff that you can do. Again, from previous podcasts and just streams discussions in general, I want people to have multiple ways to gear. I want them to have multiple ways to progress their characters. It's, as a raider, I just want to raid. So I want my content to be fun. It doesn't need to be the only thing. You know what I mean? I like difficult content getting cool stuff first, absolutely. But being the only ones to get cool stuff? No, if a casual player wants to grind out their gear up to raid level, then do that. That should be an option. What I don't like is having the craftable gear immediately better than the best in slot from the previous raid tier. That feels like, why did I even do this? Because there was no reason to do it quickly then. You know what I mean? We had that whole discussion. I'm not mad that people have a way to catch up, but I should definitely get the benefit of not having to worry about gear early on. Like, I still don't necessarily have to worry about it, but it sucks getting the best gear and then not having any time to actually enjoy it. It's more like, yeah, it's BIS for the patch cycle, not, and I'm like, obviously the next tier is going to make the previous set obsolete, but I just wish it wasn't. I wish that it was just immediately you swap it out, right? Not, okay, look at all this cool raid gear, okay, and it's in the trash. Now I'm gonna get the crafted gear, because, you know, at a certain point I want to look at my team and be like, why are we going for BIS, dude? Are we farming this for 8 weeks? We could stop immediately. Like, there's no reason, unless you like how the weapon looks, there's zero purpose for us actually grinding out. I wonder what we can do, if you can do a phase change in the world on even patch where they can cause change to those areas, show they move on from the main event. Example, like after the main expansion, next batch, Garlemald reconstruction. Yeah, I think doing stuff like that would be really cool. Again, it's something that you have to be there to enjoy, but that's kind of the nature of the beast with MMOs. At the same time, right? At the same time, I actually like that. Hang on. Yes, people are left out. New players don't get to experience that. However, then they don't have to experience that. You know what I mean? Like that actually makes a lot more sense. In terms of what happens, I mean, WoW had a few instances like that where the world was changed, and it's like, well, the new players aren't going to be able to experience that. It's like, they don't need to. Maybe have the New Game Plus or something have similar thing where you like go through the story and then you see how things evolve or how things were. That would be cool, you know, and have each phase in like the New Game Plus for that. But yeah, if you're going for having people just engaged in the content, then by the nature of an MMO, know, having the old stuff just kind of be resolved is kind of cool. It's kind of similar to us coming in from 1.0. We don't know how the world looked in 1.0. We have history of it, right? But we didn't have to experience all of 1.0 to get to 2.0. And that's an interesting thing, because then it opens up implications for what you could do story-wise as well. Though that's a little bit more hinky, because it's a Final Fantasy game. You want people to experience the story. Again, could be super possible with like a new game, how they use the New Game Plus feature, if they separated that, where you can do a history lesson basically and go back and do all that stuff, or just have an option of, hey, I want to start my character off at the beginning, or I want to come into the story at this point. Which again, I think that the story and progression should be different. I think it'd be separated. So right now you have to go through the story in order to unlock everything else in the game, which makes it very difficult as a new player. That's the biggest hurdle still, is going through story. To this day, people are just like, I don't want to go through all this. It's like you're literally having to play like 6 different games. They say that the amount of text in each expansion is equivalent to a AAA title, like a standalone AAA title. So you're having to play, you're making people play 6 separate games just to catch up. Think story and character level should be separated from job level, where you get your skills. Elaborate on that. Where are you going with that? It sounds, the idea is too simple right now. I'm having a hard time extrapolating from that. Should add new rooms or areas when we get to later patches. That would be cool too. Yeah. So yeah, I think we've gone over a few good options here. Again, those of you listening, comments, like either make separate comments, or you can space out your comments and like do. We're going over a few different topics here, so feel free. And again, don't be overly negative if there is something that, again, if it went bad in another game, or if you don't think it'll go well, talk about the why. That's like my biggest pet peeve, is because without the why, there's nowhere to go. If there's no why, there's no understanding what happened to make that thing bad. It could be bad in a vacuum in certain circumstances because of other things, like we talked about, like the reputation. It wasn't just that reputation was a pain in the butt. Is that it's a pain in the butt to get it on every single character. It was a pain in the butt because story was locked behind it. It was a pain in the butt because all this other stuff. Like, it was locked to other things. It's not necessarily that reputation itself is a bad thing. So if you attach reputation to X, Y, and Z, then it becomes bad. So don't do that. That's a perfectly good thing to comment. As an example, I'm not trying to harp on the people in chat. We're good. So, but that's something that they have to grapple with. As far as character progression, because that's the biggest hurdle, is if you want people to get to the new area, you want people to experience it, then that's how much do you really want? How important is the story? Do you just do a recap kind of a thing where you learn up to a point? It makes it especially difficult though, because everybody knows your character. So I think going through it to get you should get something from the story for sure. But then you have dungeons that are attached to the story that are specifically for certain levels in each expansion. But I think a healthy divorce of those, of progression and story, is good for the overall health of the game, because not everybody likes story. That's just kind of how it is. Not everybody's playing Final Fantasy for the story. Sometimes they like how the fights are. They like the ultimates. They like savages. They like how everything works together. But they're not interested in listening to the characters. They're not having a good time with all that, which is fine. Like, people shouldn't feel obligated to that. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's more or less what I wanted to go over for this. I really hope that what they're doing moving forward, I think they're thinking about the right things. I think, especially from this interview and a couple previous ones, or the last one, I can't remember how much he's been discussing it, but Yoshi-P's been acknowledging that, hey, we've been kind of just in a, not a rut, but on autopilot, and we're doing everything based on our own precedent, but we don't have to do that. Like, the way that they changed up the deep dungeon, giving us a scalable final boss, giving us checkpoints, like more readily available checkpoints, opened up so many doors. All they needed to work on really is making it a little bit more interesting for I don't know how much they care about solo runners, but making the mob diversity more interesting for solo players, but also the rewards. That's really all they failed on. As far as the feel and the boss fights and the overall experience, it was great. The Pilgrim's Traverse is a lot of fun, but they had shortcomings on it, sure, but it wasn't the content. You know what I mean? It was the rewards to incentivize people to do it, because fun only gets you so far, right? There always has to be either a high score or, you know, reward, especially glamour. The issue I have right now is that things are locked behind other things. Yeah. Like how Fort Tower was locked behind Occult Crescent Ciphers, not enough to have a group. Same with Q40 being behind completing Deep Dungeon, and I don't want to do that either. Too many hurdles, Deep Dungeon, plus DDoS hitting you really hard there. So for that, you're talking about similar content. So I get that wanting to do Q40, the fight is much different because it's a fight rather than just another palace run. So I can understand that. The ciphers, I'm kind of there with you. I'm from an era of MMO gaming where, like, from 11, we needed testimonials to challenge the person to up our level cap. So you go through Occult Crescent, you get to max level, you unlock the ability to get the ciphers, which then takes you into the next area. I think they still could handle that overall a little bit better. I'm not entirely against earning the right to get something else. Like, you experienced the Occult Crescent. Occult Crescent, by the way, I thought it was cool because you didn't have to be max level in it to unlock things. So the leveling process, you were still engaged in every part of the content for the most part, except for Forked Tower. But you could still do stuff and you were still waiting for drops, for the job stone, the Phantom job stone. Or you are still getting a base currency to buy the other ones. And you're still getting experience in those Phantom jobs. You're engaging with it. Like, the leveling experience is the experience of it. And then Forked Tower is just a separate thing, separate dungeon on top of. So I understand if you don't want to engage, if you only want to do dungeon content or raid content, right? Conversely, there are already ways to do that with raids and dungeons. You know what I mean? So yes, having two kind of different types of content locked together, I get where that's there's the rub, but it also makes sense to an extent. Still good feedback. I get where you're coming from on that. I'm not sure how to reconcile it necessarily, because on one hand, you want people to have a reward for completing the stuff. If you make things too easy, or if you make things too readily available to just hand things out, then it takes away the motivation to actually play the other content. So it would be you have to put another carrot there and still make people engage with content to unlock it. That in on its own is a reward in my mind. I understand that there can be different perspectives. Earn it once. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So the ciphers, you don't like having to keep grinding for them. I can respect that for sure. And doing Deep Dungeon while getting DDoS is really, really sucky. I'll give you that. Absolutely. At the very least, we have checkpoints now where the reset isn't super hard, but you still have those last 30 levels too, or the last 30 floors rather, that make it challenging. I will concede to you there. Making it an auto fail, gosh dang it. I know why they have to do it. Because if you don't make it auto fail, then you have people that are in a bind and then they kill switch or they lag switch their PC and then they disconnect and then it saves their character because they're no longer in the instance, and then they log back in and then they're they're cheesing it, right? People are abusing the system. That's why we can't have nice things. But it does really suck when it's not your fault. So, man, I wish I had an answer to that. It's a similar thing with fighting games. If you get hit with a DC in the middle of the thing, and it could be the servers, right? You still get hit with a loss in a ranked match. It sucks, dude. It sucks. But what are you gonna do? I would prefer it this way than people cheesing it and then not getting it. I mean, it's hard enough watching people in PvP think they're hot stuff when they're very obviously like win trading and stuff. But yeah, if you quit doing it, that's okay too. I don't blame you for that. Honestly, I'm not. Okay. Another way I know people won't like this, but it's time to retire old NPC and introduce new NPCs. Oh, okay. For example, let's say some scions pass or decide not to be a scion, or a new character joins from the story point. That would be a good way to make future story beats matter a little bit more, like a new season, like as in an anime, not a season pass. But having the old scions be basically retired or working in other areas, right? And having the story move on from there. I could see that working. I think it should be totally fine to allow players to join in at certain levels, like higher levels. Like if you started in Shadowbringers, right? And you want to start off at level 80 with a Dark Knight. Or not Dark Knight, wasn't unlocked then. Shadowbringers. What unlocked during Shadowbringers? Was Dancer? Like if you want to be on a Dancer, and start in there, then okay, you start in there. I don't know. There's lots of caveats and things that the 14 team will look at through the lens of what they have to do. So I don't know, spitballing at that point. Like the idea of retiring old Scions, kind of hoping Team B Scions, who were traveling all over the world, were the seeds for new adventures. Yeah, that would be cool. Or even having the retired Scions from the last expansion be the introductory folks for... So instead of... The idea would be if the older Scions, once they retire to that expansion, then they are the introductory Scions or the... So instead of going on the ship or the... What's it? The carriage or whatever. You are in an intro cutscene or whatever and helping things out. And then the Scion comes in. Oh, hey, you're helpful. I should introduce you to these other folks that are conveniently the Scions for the next expansion. Like, you don't have to get rid of Scions. Yes, they're marketable and whatever. But you don't have to have them as part of the story anymore. Or they could be a part of side content. You could always have them a part of a 24-man. They already have split dialogue for what you've done in the past. For instance, if you've completed if you've completed Coil and like Phoenix and all that stuff and beaten Bahamut, then you get different dialogue options. They have made that switch already. So maybe the trust system could be a compromise. I like how in previous expansions they sometimes make comments. Yeah, that too. And again, you could also, I don't know, maybe give people the option of New Game Plus being you start from scratch. You start from level one, do the whole story. You experience the story all the way up. They're making the trust system so it's possible to do all the content with trusts all the way up, right? You get all the Scions, you get everybody, you don't have to engage with anybody, you just take it at your own pace, you're not worried about anybody giving you a hard time, and just go through, and then you have the rapport with the Scions. You start up in the main story with that save file, you push it over, and then, oh, here I am, I've experienced the whole history, I'm basically one of you guys now. So I'm gonna cut this off here because I want to be able to edit this before the weekend so everybody can listen to this at the usual time. Thank you guys for hanging out. Thanks for listening. If you didn't get your idea out here or I missed it, please be sure to put it in the comments. I'll try and revisit this and we'll go over. That's the comments on the YouTube channel. If you want to do that, this will be up on Spotify as well as usual. But also not just for my sake or for me engaging with you, make sure that you're leaving a comment for the developers to see. Comment as if the developers... With respect, comment as if the developers are seeing it, because they likely are. Not to toot my own horn here, it's just they seem to enjoy the comments or the discussions that we have, and we've seen the game actually change and improve based on things that we've discussed here in the past. So please do that, again, with respect. I'm sure they want to do things. Not everything is going to work the way that we want them to, unfortunately, but that's just kind of how it is with the massive player base that they now have. But hopefully these things talked enough about what they want for as far as, you know, how much time we have to spend, what would be worthwhile. He made other comments of having things like options where you log in and it tells you, or it asks you, what do you want to do today? Do you want to do story stuff? Do you want to do progression? Do you want to do crafting? And then it kind of guides you to where you need to go. And I don't need that personally, but it's a nice option for people who are just getting into it. Great, great way to start people off, I think. But yeah, it's not possible to please everybody, obviously, but the more feedback they have, the more common ground they're going to find, right? And all we really have to do at the end of the day is just kind of suck it up and be like, it's a good compromise. We just have to compromise sometimes. If not, then like I said at the beginning, they're not entitled to your money or your time. It's not that they deserve it. I hate it when people try and guilt trip folks into, like, I'm not going to buy this. I'm not going to buy this game. I'm not going to buy this product. I don't like what the company's doing. I don't like what they stand for. But what about the workers? What about the people, the employees? If you stop paying the company, then they're not going to have work. It's like, that's how the system works. You make a good product, I buy it. You don't, I don't. You don't deserve it. You're not entitled to it. So it's a bad argument. As much as I love Square Enix, if the gaming companies do not provide a product that you want, then find a product that does. There's definitely a market for you. And that's another thing that I want to say to the 14 developers is, remember who likes your game. It's good to improve the systems that you have in place, but don't water it down just to cast a wider net. Because from where we are right now, you guys haven't been able to put out more net. You've been stretching it thin and letting more people go through. You know, you're gonna have a much less passionate player base if you make things too easy to get in, if there's no commitment to the game, and if you keep watering down what makes people enjoy it. So let people get immersed in the game, give them reasons to care about the world, give them a stake in the world, and things don't have to be super grindy, but constant progression. That's why I like grinding. Brian's is because every day I can look at a number that goes up. It's something that we don't get in reality. We have to wait years sometimes to see our progress. Like, I know now if I'm working on stuff, I have to tell myself I'm going to see the results of this pay off in 2 to 3 years. I look back at like my previous editing style or I've been thinking about developing my game or the way I talk to you guys, the way I handle my content. It's things that improve over time, but I'm not getting a little ding ding every day. We're not getting that dopamine hit, and that's where games come in. That's why it feels good to, I love leveling because it feels like I'm making progress every day. I get a level, or if I get to, I get two level. I got two levels today. I feel good. You know what I mean? That's the point of grinding for me, is getting that little dopamine hit every time. And you don't want to give it too often, because then it loses its value. Make people work for it just a little bit. Make it just a little bit of a pain, not mind numbing, not horrible, not so RNG that it feels like you're not making any progress ever, right? But having little incremental bits of progress, it's a little bit every day. You see that kind of going towards it. Every time you log in, you get something for it. That's the key, in my opinion. So if you guys can nail that, you're making good ground. So yeah, the new deep dungeon was a great step in the right direction for that. The deep dungeon in general, I'm looking forward to the new criterion, the way that they're divvying that up. I think that'll be great. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm optimistic. And things have been going great. We still have a long way to go, but I'm glad that they're looking at revamping things, and they're not just saying eat the slop we put in front of you. You know, they're trying new things, and our tastes don't always align, but I don't think it's slop. I think that they're working very hard. I think they're trying. I want to see it improve. I think that, you know, I appreciate a good tomato soup, but maybe threw some milk in there. Anyway, that's it for me today. Again, leave your comments below. Whether you're here live, thank you guys for joining me live. I appreciate you allowing me to flesh out my thoughts and work through these things and all that stuff. The engagement is always a lot of fun. But after the fact as well, in the comments, guys, please continue the discussion. Keep it going. There's a lot that we can do. May not be exactly what you want, but you're not going to know unless you try. Yes, you're one person, you're one player in a sea of millions, but your opinion aligns with somebody else. Your desire aligns with somebody else's. And if you don't make that known, that they'll never see the connection. You know what I mean? So just try. You've got nothing to lose aside from 30 seconds writing a comment. But hope you guys have a great rest of your day, night, wherever you are. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, whether or not you celebrated it. Hope you did. I definitely enjoyed my time with my family. But God bless you all, and I'll see you next time.